challenges and successes, hardship and joy, pain and blessings. The dichotomies of life, right? We eagerly embrace successes, joys, and blessings, yet we become frustrated when challenges, hardship, and pain intersect our lives. But what if the tough times of life are just cleverly disguised opportunities to grow? Resilience, strength, wisdom, courage, and grit are grown when we embrace and choose to learn from those challenging times of life. I invite you to tune your ear to the lessons and insights my guest gained when they fought to overcome the tough times that intersected their lives. Consider how their strategies, mindsets, and habits equipped and empowered them to grow, even thrive, despite the challenges they faced. Welcome to the Challenges Won't Stop Me podcast. I'm your host, Melanie Brown. I'm honored you've chosen to listen to this episode. I believe you will be encouraged and inspired to seek to grow through your challenges. Let's keep moving forward. Last episode, if you were with us, you heard my conversation with Sarah Cormany. And oh man, I have found a kindred spirit and I am thrilled to have done that interview. I hope that you were inspired by what she shared and how she's got that fighter spirit in her and it has been tested numerous times and she's still standing strong and still praising God, which that's what it's all about. Now, I am excited to have her back. We're going to be talking about her book that has just been released, but then also we are going to be talking about something that is on her heart that has helped her during the times that she's been struggling and helps her to keep moving forward. Welcome back, Sarah.
Woo-woo. Hello, my dear. And you are also inspiring to me, just so you know. I have enjoyed getting to know you. It's amazing.
We're going to have a great episode this time, too. Tell us the name of your book and congratulations, girl.
Thank you so much. You know, I still kind of can't believe that I'm a writer. That was never something that I had set out to do, but it was something that I don't think it really with most authors. It's like, I don't know how this happened, but it did. And now I have a book. Most of the journey as a writer, I've just been like, God, I need you to use this however you want to use this. And I don't have to have, again, going back to my MO prior to my illness, I don't have to have the reins and I don't have to be in charge. And just to watch him take what was really just a place where I found him again after hard things has now become this book. It's called Even When. The subtitle is Experiencing God's Presence During Difficult Days.
It's 40 devotions, which I think is great. You gave me some access to quite a few of them, and I read them. I connected immediately because, of course, you're talking about the challenges that you've gone through. But there's such a sense of hope and leaning on God during our difficult times and learning about Him through those difficult times.
Absolutely.
And I'm just excited to read the rest of it.
It's such an honor to even be in a position to be here and say, God, look at all the ways you've been faithful to me. You know, honestly, I'll just be real with you. My husband and I were talking about this not terribly long ago, that this past year has literally probably been the hardest of our lives. Mm. And it hasn't been filled with all the medical shenanigans that you find in the book, but the just hard, just every single day over the last year. And it is no mistake that God would be bringing this book out into the world now, because I was able to look at His faithfulness and see how He worked through our impossible years ago. And I think that's what He does when we are able to look across the landscape of our lives and see His faithfulness through our hard things in the past it gives us the hope to keep pressing on in the future. This title has been that for me. I have not arrived. I still fail, falter, and forget to trust him. But man, that has been the grace of this book. Just a reminder that he is present.
Well, and how many times in the Bible does he command us to remember his faithfulness? Because absolutely. I think as human beings, we're prone to forgetting, and it doesn't take a stroke.
Nope. It doesn't help, but yes.
No, it doesn't help at all. And he still doesn't give us permission to use that as an excuse. We still are required to remember. And there's such value in that. Sometimes something will happen, a challenge. And I'm just like, God, are you doing anything? I need this today. I'm sure he's up there shaking his head at me. Come on, Mel. Seriously?
Don't you remember what I did 5 minutes ago? Oh,
I have showed up in magnanimous ways. I am totally faithful to my word and to you. You don't trust me in this?
Yep.
To me, Tara, it's the trust.
Yep.
And I think it's helpful when we read about other people and their lives and how they saw God faithful. While someone may not have gone through exactly what you and your family have gone through,
even though our circumstances might be different, our God is the same. And that's what joins us, so that even if I don't know what it's like to have experienced what you've experienced, I know I can trust the same God. We need that from each other. We need to be able to link arms and just say, let's trust him together. Yep, absolutely. That has been the journey for me. And I know we talked a little bit about this idea, this grace of the impossible.
Yes.
I don't know if that was a mindset that has developed over time, or if it's something even, because I had told you that I discovered it in a devotion. It is the upside of having short-term memory problems, is you're like, oh, I wrote that? Well, wow, that's not too bad.
Yeah, here's your name on the front cover, girl.
Exactly. Exactly. But as I was reading that, that really is life, is that without God, man, the grace of the impossible or the impossible is nothing but an obstacle. But with God, it's just the beginning of what's possible. And really linking in and digging into that idea in Matthew 17:20, faith of a mustard seed. And that idea that mountains aren't scary to him. Mountains are just a place to start and show us how big he is. I love the story of David and Goliath. David ran towards his giant, this little kid who, in and of his own capacity and ability, he should not have had confidence, but he ran. And man, I may not be able to run, but I will wonky walk towards my giant, just knowing how he has been faithful to overcome the impossible.
If we back up to his story before that event, he even tells Saul, he had fought several different types of animals. God had proven faithful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
God taught him things during that time, showed his faithfulness. David puts that in his mind, and that becomes foundational and bedrock to him, so that when he comes to that next challenge, God did it before. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty incredible. He's going to do it again. I don't know how, but he is.
Yep.
There's so many things in our world that we deal with that are just impossible. That's where he shines the best.
Absolutely. The power of God and the might of God is, I think, even more noticeable the more impossible the situation appears and seems. And I know I fail a lot, but man, I want to run. I want to just trust God so implicitly that I see a giant. I know it's bad. I know the statistics. I know all the things, but the God behind me is bigger than the giant in front of me.
Yes. Say that again.
The God behind me is bigger than the giant in front of me.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So something that you had talked about reminded me of my fight verse, which is 2 Corinthians, the wording, "My grace is sufficient for you, my power made perfect in weakness." And this is the part I love. "Therefore, I will boast." Therefore, yes. I will boast. David didn't boast in his own strength and his own ability. It was in God. And when we remember that weakness is the perfect place for him to start, whether it's my wonky brain that can't remember my fight verse, or it's my comparison with other mamas or other wives, the reality is he works through that in a way that could never have been done if I was doing it on my own ability. Yeah. And I think the example, David shows us that, and this concept of the grace of the impossible, I think it goes back to that's the perfect place for him to start. And I know I had already said that, but we want to see the ending. We want to know the ending, but we don't get to know the ending.
Uh-uh.
But we can know that he has the ending in control and we can trust him with the beginning.
That's beautiful. And I love that you have a fight verse. That's something that I say in both of my books, that you gotta have a fight verse.
You do. You do. And the world tells us you have to be perfect and you have to have it all together and you have to look a certain way on social media or however that may be. We were just talking about my wonky brain and how that sometimes when you go through hard things, people think, oh, they've got it all together. Well, no, we don't. We do not have it all together. But we get to boast in our weakness. We get to say, look at my mess. And yet God is using it. And he's using it more because it's messy than if it looked all picture perfect.
The fight verse. I don't know if you do this, but when I go through challenges, I am repeating that verse over and over and over and over again. I do that because I want to fill my brain with God's word. That's when Satan wants to come in and go, yep, this impossible situation, God, there's no way he can fix this or change this or heal you. If I don't have that fight verse in there or God's word in general in there, then there's all this room for Satan to take up and set up camp and just wreak havoc. He does. Because there have been times where I haven't been spending time in the word. And he's like, I'm coming in to hang out for a while, and I'm just going to stir things up. Yep. And he will convince me that God can't handle that impossible situation.
But he can.
And that is no place to be.
Yep. It is no place to be. And it steals your joy. It steals hope. It steals all the things he promises us in the middle of hard things. So going back to the source, I think that's the other thing is that, and what I love about devotionals is that it takes our story, our lives, things that we see, and it meshes with truth. And it's that bite-sized reminder to just keep going and just to be reminded that God that fills scripture, the stories that are over and over of his faithfulness to those he loves and his promises, those are true and they will fight against our worlds that everything's supposed to be pretty and perfect and wrapped up in a bow. And he said, no, life is going to be hard. You're going to have troubles. There are going to be mountains, but trust me, I've got you. I've got you. When I think about this idea of the grace of the impossible, I think about David, but I also think about Hannah and the prayer and the petition she put before the Lord over and over and over and over again. And the fact that he fulfilled that promise, but then she was willing to give him back to the God who had answered that prayer, that petition of her heart. I think for a lot of us as Jesus followers, it can be really difficult when we get that answered prayer. We want to hold on to it really, really, really tightly. We don't want to surrender it back to him. And I think of my kids. I prayed for that sweet little baby, Maddie, who was our rainbow baby. And to even think about then giving her back to God, that is a sacrifice. And that is something that feels impossible. But when we link arms with God in the middle of it, it's possible. How amazing is it that she also kept praying and kept petitioning until she received that answered prayer and that miracle. I think a lot of times we put God into a box and we ask him to do things over and over again, and then we kind of give up. But she's a perfect example of somebody who just believed that even when the world told her no, even when in my case, it was doctors and science told me no, that she knew God was bigger, just like David. God was bigger than her infertility, bigger than her childlessness. And I love that persistence and that perseverance because it communicates so beautifully who she saw God as, completely and totally sovereign, completely and totally just absolute trust that he would do and be who he said he was. And how many times do I forget that? All the time I do.
We all do.
We allow the discouragement, the pain of maybe not hearing the answer that we want, to then just cause that break in communion with him. We miss so much in not trusting him with our deepest desires. And what the world may call miracles, he says, watch this. Watch this. I've got you. And I've got this.
Yes. It makes me think about what you said a moment ago with the persistence in her prayer, how we get to the point where, okay, God, I've asked this 500 times and maybe it's just me, but we get mad. God, you're not answering me. So I'm just going to quit asking you because clearly you're not going to answer. I think sometimes when the answer is not there, instead of it building our trust or building our faith, it does the exact opposite. A very important point about the impossible is it's growing our relationship with God. It's not about what we are getting.
Absolutely.
And that's a hard thing.
Oh, totally. And I don't think it's just you, or maybe it's just you and me, but absolutely. When we don't get what we want, a lot of times I see my kids as toddlers in the corner, stomping their feet, throwing themselves on the floor. I'm not getting what I want. And I think it's this beautiful real life example that becomes a picture of God the Father. When he says no, it's usually to build something in us and to grow something in us that wouldn't be grown in any other way. We often don't see that as love, but when we look at the relationship between a mom and her child or a father and their child, it is always and should always stem from that love that says, I want you to know me more. I want you to experience all I have for you. But right now that requires a no. But keep coming back, keep asking, and keep building your trust in me so that I can answer that prayer of your heart, give you that miracle. And sometimes miracles look different than we thought they should. Sometimes healing looks different than we thought it should. And I think that is also an exercise of trust that says, I trust you to give me something different and it be enough.
Whoa, preach it, girl, because that is spot on, truly. And one of the things that I remember about Hannah's story that always hit me really hard is once God answered her prayer and she had her son, Samuel, she did what she said she would do. And she took Samuel when he was weaned to Eli the priest and said, he is now yours and God's. I marvel at what she did. That is unbelievable.
And such a picture of what we as parents are asked to do, which is we're meant to let go. We're not meant to clamp down. And I think that parent-child relationship, when we have those babies, when we bring them home, we just want to hold on and never let go. And it doesn't matter if it was hard getting there or if it was a really, really, really tough journey. I think that is just cemented into us as parents. But then to watch her faith and watch her keep her promise, because God had kept his promise to her, which is just like Abraham and Isaac. Again, God met his promise and said, I'm going to give you a son, but now I'm asking you to give him back. And I'm asking you to surrender the miracle you asked for. And that takes guts. It takes courage. But like you said, it also takes faith that God knows what he's doing. Anytime we like, well, you know, I'm going to trust you just a little bit, it really communicates we don't think he has the best plan. We're like, hey, my plan, I think, is a lot better. And you know what?
I know better than you, God.
And I'll just tell you, even just based on today, I know my plans are a hot and holy mess. And so in those moments of really just being honest to say that if I try to take control, this is a bit of a disaster. But when I surrender that control over to him, he just says, I may not always give you what you want, but I am going to give you what you need.
The Bible is just covered up in stories of God doing the impossible, which sometimes when we compare our lives to theirs, we don't necessarily see parting the Red Sea or David knocking down the giant with a stone. We don't see those things, but he is doing impossible things all the time. And sometimes we are attributing it to other things. Well, that was a coincidence, or that just fell out just perfectly. No, all of that is totally orchestrated by God. All of it.
Absolutely.
And we need to give credit where credit is due.
Absolutely. And I'm remembering now, I think the grace of the impossible came out of the story where I was at physical therapy and there was a little resident, and I was the visual aid of showing him how a brain and a body, what happens when they don't work together. And it was hilarious. My physical therapist and I, we snort laughed through the entire thing. And this poor little resident's just like, is this supposed to be funny? I'm not sure this is supposed to be funny. We thought it was hilarious. But one of the things that little story and that little vignette brought back to me is I started my journey giving up my dream of being a teacher. Mm-hmm. And then I had a stroke and I thought my world had ended. And in that moment where I may not have wanted to be the visual aid, I may not have wanted to show him how a brain and a body cannot work together, but God had brought me back to my dream all over again. What seemed impossible was now possible through such an unbelievable vehicle, but one that clearly demonstrated the power of God.
Through your speaking and through your book, you are still teaching. It's not in front of a classroom.
Nothing is wasted.
Nothing is wasted. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. And that's a gift of years and time that you're able to see that redemption. It's one of the things, man, every time I have a birthday, I'm like, woo! I am always grateful for that extra year of life because it gives me more perspective and again, brings me closer to the heart of a father. And it also teaches me that I really don't know a whole lot and I really need to put my trust in the God who holds it all.
Well, and he does not fail us.
Nope.
He really, really doesn't. He answers prayers, maybe not in our time frame, not in the exact manner that we wish for it to be. He is so involved in our lives. I get dumbstruck when I think through my journey of all the ways that God intervened and was there for me and fought for me And just like for you, and just like for anyone who's listening, God is so involved in our lives and he can do the impossible.
And he's big enough for whatever we throw at him, even if it is our temper tantrum. That's the other thing I love about the heart of our Father is he's not offended. He will take us as we are. And I think that when we can be vulnerable and we can be honest, that builds relationship. And knowing he's big enough to handle our hurts and our pain and our frustration, it keeps it an ongoing conversation so that we can truly know his heart.
I think that is a beautiful ending to this episode. But before we sign off, I want to make sure that we mention your new book. It has been released. I am so excited for you. It is called Even When, Experiencing God's Presence During Difficult Days. So make sure that you grab a copy of it. It will cause you to think about what he's doing in your difficult days. I want to make sure that the listeners also are aware of your website. It is your name, Sarah Cormony. It is SARACORMANY.com.
Perfect.
You can learn more about Sarah there. You can, and also if you're interested in having her come to speak at an event.
That would be my honor. I love connecting with people, anyone, anytime.
I am just thrilled that we have had this time together, Sarah. It has been such a joy. And I look forward to continuing this wonky friendship. I've got to use that word.
Me too, my sweet, sweet friend.
Thank you, Sarah.
Likewise, you're the best.